Tracy Letts, Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright of August, Osage County, has this to say about his more recent piece, titled The Minutes. The impulse of the town hall meeting was, of course, to take something very small and specific and hope that it represents a larger idea. For me, The Minutes was a way to look at how we write and pass along our history, the way we function with it, the way we move forward through a day, through our lives, knowing what we know about our history, knowing the things that we've learned or unlearned or learned wrong about who we are and how we got here. I'm pretty conscious of that, I have to say. Every time we throw out food or the casual ways in which we live with great comfort and take that for granted, I wanted to explore that. I started writing the play during the 2016 election, but it really wasn't about that. I'm not actually writing about the candidates. I'm not writing about Republicans and Democrats. I'm not writing about this political moment, though I think in some ways the play does address it because it deals with history. It addresses just how we got here. How did we get to this place we're at right now? What often happens in plays of mine, we go from a sort of hyper-realism to a more expressionistic moment. I think it's more about the way it makes it feel rather than what happens or any intellectual understanding of what happens. It moves from nice comedy to something darker and scarier. I'm born and raised in Oklahoma, and I carry it with me wherever I go, but I'm careful not to identify the state in this play. If I identified it as Oklahoma, the good people of Kansas would say, "That's not us." I want everybody to think that it's their state. I feel pretty confident that we're not blindly stumbling into some problematic area. We've really stepped into the problematic area, and the play kind of takes it on. That's in some ways what the play is all about. I have to say that that sharp turn was always part of the conception of the play. I can never write a play unless I know what the ending is before I start it. So I always knew we were going to take that very sharp turn into dark territory. There's something about a sharp shift into the unexpected for the audience. As much as they might feel they know where the play is going, I don't think that they necessarily know it's going to quite that place. I always enjoyed taking the audience to that place. Sometimes they want to come with you, and sometimes they don't. I look for that kind of split personality in individual audience members. It's also good for starting fights as people leave the theater. People have pretty hearty disagreements about what they've seen or whether they like what they've seen. That makes me happy. I want to write a play that engenders discussion and argument rather than a play that's easily tied up and dismissed. Words of Tracy Letts about his play titled The Minutes, posted by the Umbrella Arts Center. Intriguing, isn't it, to hear a writer describe his play as moving from nice comedy to something darker and scarier, and to suggest it might just be the kind of work that inspires fights as people leave the theater. Obviously not fisticuffs, but arguments that are meaningful. One reviewer said The Minutes is the kind of play that you probably haven't seen before. Well, how so? Gaslight Theater is inviting us to experience The Minutes the weekend of March 28th at the King's College Theater in Wilkes-Barre. And director Brandy George and cast member Jennifer McClinton Temple paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to proffer that invitation without revealing too much. Brandy George.
Gaslight Theater Company was founded in 2003, so we've been in existence for just over 20 years now, producing innovative, high-quality theater productions that we try to, you know, break out a little bit of the mold of what's typically seen in the area. Gaslight started doing original works more recently to break into that area, but started doing underproduced and classical works.
This production is not the work of a local playwright by Tracy Letts, a nationally known playwright, but what is, to me, unconventional about this work is that it's dark humor, which I love, but also it is a really thought-provoking, topical piece that is incredibly timely. And I don't know that there are a lot of theaters in the area that would produce something like that.
What went into the decision, Brandy? Why did you say, this is the one that I want to take on?
Actually, choosing to do this play right now was a little bit of a logistics game. Gaslight was trying to fill the season, and we recognized that we had this spot at King's College. We've been artists in residence there with the theater department, so we've been given venue space in between their spring shows in the summer and then in between their winter shows. So we were looking at a one-weekend run. I haven't directed a show since I've had a child, and so I thought, okay, what one act can I do that's more recent and new that would be a really easy commitment for myself and for actors to have this first project back in the theater? And of course, thinking about, you know, politics and the political climate right now, I had seen this play in previews on Broadway before it closed for the pandemic. I saw it maybe February 26th, 2020. It only ran for 2 weeks before it shut down. And I remember as soon as I saw it, I want to direct that. So when I was thinking of what show could I do in this time spot at King's Theater, it seemed perfect. And then when Gaslight selected it, this was back in September, we knew that depending on, you know, which way the election went, the play would land very differently. And we have seen that very much from, again, when it was selected in the fall, to even how it read when we first got together in January to read it as a cast, to even today as we're preparing for our final runs.
We want to talk about the premise, but we don't want you to give it so much detail that folks won't be surprised and gripped by what it is that's unfolding.
You know, just really quick, the play is a city council meeting where some minutes have gone missing or are just not entered into the record yet. Where are these minutes? So we have some missing minutes, but we also have a missing city council member. Right. So that's a piece of dramatic tension that the plot is really going to focus on for the majority of the first part of the play. The place where the play pivots, where an audience member might not be able to guess what's happening, it's really about the stories that we tell about ourselves, stories that we tell about the towns that we live in, about our cultures, about who we are. Where do we get those stories? How do we know if they're true? What happens when stories conflict? What happens when one group has a story and another group in the town has a different story? And as a faculty member, I'm really familiar with minutes and how important minutes are in committee meetings. And minutes are a kind of story, right? Minutes tell a story of a meeting. And it's important that those minutes be accurate. And so I think that gives audience members enough to kind of understand where the play is going without spoiling, you know, these crucial parts that we want them to see when they're there.
And ensemble cast?
Yeah, it's very much an ensemble cast. And I've been really fortunate to have a great group come out who auditioned for this piece. It is a one act. It runs about 90 minutes, 85, 90 minutes. And what's great about it is it happens in real time. So, you know, you are entering the theater, you are entering our council chambers, and as soon as the play starts, the action takes off. And I think by rooting it in real time and at that pace, it creates and really adds to the dramatic tension that Jennifer has mentioned. It's very whip smart. It moves so quickly with the humor and the dialogue. And Tracy Letts is such a master at injecting so much meaning into his dialogue, whether or not it's intentional completely. It just feels like you can have such a great time as a director and an actor and an ensemble really picking apart what he might be telling us here, especially with this mystery of the minutes and the other council member. So it has been so fun to have everyone come together, really dissect the play, the plot, the dialogue, and we've been arriving at our thoughts on what has happened off stage.
And Jennifer, what role do you have in this?
So I play Ms. Innes. She is one of three women in the room. She is the oldest of the three women, and she is the second oldest of all of the city council members. She's been on the council for 35 years. she is a bit of a know-it-all. She thinks that she can solve the problem through words, which I know from experience that that's often not enough. But she also, there's a piece of Miss Innes that I think she feels like she has weathered this good old boys club that she's been a member of for such a long time. You know, so I think she feels like she's earned the right to speak, even though not everyone agrees with that.
It's small town, right? Small town?
Yeah, the fictional town of Big Cherry, which is not given a particular state, but we can infer that it's likely somewhere in the Midwest, north-ish region.
Unless there's someone coming to speak before the council, or there's some problem with the sanitary system and people are lining up to yell at the members of the council, do something about this, the pace of a meeting is generally, it could be slow. How does this meeting move?
Tracy Letts, again, does such a great job of what I imagine is a very authentic representation of a city council meeting. He's been quoted in other interviews saying that he's watched over 100 hours of city council meetings, and he's lifted actual examples of dialogue and put it directly in the play. But it does move, I imagine, probably faster than your typical city council meeting. But I do think that's because of the plot that's happening. But there's a lot of procedural dialogue that happens that he has turned into great humor.
There is some history of Big Cherry that figures in this play. And it has to do, Jennifer, with the storytelling aspect about who tells the stories and how do we know our origins and so forth.
Yes, absolutely. So Town of Big Cherry has, I don't think it's an origin story, but it's a story about their past. And they tell this story over and over again at their yearly Heritage Festival. They're very devoted to the story. The Town of Big Cherry has a story that is not necessarily an origin story about the town, but it has to do with their heritage. And they tell this story again and again and again. They tell it in pageants, they tell it in school, and they tell it, most importantly, at their Heritage Festival. And so the tension that comes along in the play has to do with whether or not this story is accurate.
We're going to get to see something more than just talking heads, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Not only the council members of Big Cherry, but all of the local inhabitants very hold dear this story and this reenactment that they perform here for the newest council member, Mr. Peel, who is the one who's unraveling some of this. He's not local to the area. He's recently moved to spend time with his wife's family. So he knows a few things from being married into this area, but he doesn't know all of the details. And these council members will take any opportunity to perform.
I will say the other council members work very hard to teach Mr. Peel what the Town of Big Cherry is about.
Now, how is it that this speaks to us today in general terms?
I mean, any political climate is going to hold up a mirror to works. I mean, that's why theater is so great. Plays will land differently in the different historical, social, economical climate that they're in. But I think what we can all recognize, no matter how we feel politically, is a lot has happened in the last 90 days. And I mean, that was the intention of the new administration, was to shake things up very quickly. So as we've seen that action happening rather rapidly than we maybe have seen before, I think it has also been top of mind for us as we've been working on this play literally from a couple days before inauguration through to today. So the timing of us mounting this production has really been in lockstep with an administration change. So I think some things, maybe if we produce this play later in the year, things wouldn't be as obvious as they are right now, because we are in the guts of it.
Yeah, I also think, regardless, over the last decade or so in the United States, we have had a lot of debates about how we represent our own history. And those debates can hinge on, they can hinge on statues. They can hinge on a story that we tell. They can hinge on reenactments or pageants or plays that children might perform in schools. And they can hinge on things that are perhaps more adult in nature. But I think anyone, regardless of what side of the political aisle you describe yourself as being on, you know what I'm talking about. You recognize these debates that I'm talking about. And so I think that's how this play speaks to our current political climate. But it probably would have spoken to it 4 years ago as well, because it's a debate that we've been having for at least a decade, I think, on various topics.
And the playwright wrote it in 2016 when Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were running for the first time. And he's openly acknowledged in several interviews that he did not write it with them specifically in mind. But of course, how can you ignore that context of when you're writing the play? And so even for him, he's referenced that when it was mounted at Steppenwolf for the very first time in Chicago, it had a different air to it to when it transferred to Broadway in 2020. And even then, I know he has talked about some small revisions that he's made in the text from when it reopened on Broadway in 2022. I'm assuming that we have the last version of the script. That's the one that's been distributed for producing at other companies.
Are we as audience members made to feel by the way you all are addressing each other and Mr. Peel and teaching this story, do we sort of feel like we might be in the chambers with you?
It has been my intention from mounting this that we immerse the audience as much as possible. My hope had been to do the play in the round where audience was on all sides and that they could see other audience members across the stage and feel that they were in the middle of the crossfire. That doesn't work very well when you have 11 people at a council table. It has been traditionally performed on a proscenium, so we've met this very nice middle ground of it being performed kind of proscenium style, but the audience should feel like they are in the audience of the council chamber. Because I do think it's really important, again, no matter how you might feel about some of these specific debates or topics, we are all a part of it, and we are all complicit in one way or another. And so it's critical that we not look at this play as a divided audience member, but a participant in it.
There are several spots in the play where it will feel to audience members as though a speech is being delivered to them. My character has a speech that's like that, but other characters do as well. So there are several times that I think the audience will feel that.
Are the characters, as your character, Jennifer, do you feel like you're a fully formed character? You do some thinking about who she is?
Yeah, I think I won't say that's true for all the characters because I haven't thought about them all. But I definitely think that she has enough detail in her story that I have a sense of where she's been and what's important to her and why she's arrived where she's arrived in terms of how she feels about the topics that are being discussed.
I would say all of the characters can be presented as traditional archetypes, if you wanted to really generalize it. But again, Tracy Letts is so good. In any little, maybe throwaway piece of dialogue, you can extract something from that. So even a character that might not have a lot to say has figured out a lot about their character based on what other people have said, what they can observe of other people, how they might react, which again is another great thing about this piece happening in real time in one scene as a one act, is that the characters are free to get up and go get a coffee and go to the bathroom and then come back. This is a closed council session, so we're trying to create it. We're trying to create an environment that feels authentic so that these characters can exist for 90 minutes in real time.
Jennifer, I know how thoughtful you are and how careful a reader you are. Is there a piece of clothing or a pair of glasses that your character has that says to you, this is right?
I think a blazer is a really important article of clothing for Ms. Innes.
Almost like a Chanel jacket kind of blazer.
Yep. That's definitely what she's going to be wearing. And that's going to say a lot about. And I will just say, this character is about 10 years older than I actually am. So it's not going to be a blazer I own. It's going to be a costume.
And a lot of hairspray.
A lot of hairspray.
That she needs a lot of hairspray to keep her hairstyle up.
Yep. Some big earrings. Yeah.
What about the new fellow? Is it Peel? It's an ensemble cast, but is he particularly prominent because he's being tutored?
Yes, Mr. Peel is definitely the leading force of the council. He's a really smart character, which means he's asking a lot of questions, and they're the right questions, but you get the sense from the council that they've never met much resistance ever from within. So their procedure of having their council meeting has usually just moved very smoothly without many hiccups.
It's been boilerplate.
It's been very boilerplate.
There's a character who says boilerplate a lot. This is boilerplate.
Even the rules committee is referenced a couple of times. But how often does that person really need to pull up documentation from the rules committee? So, yeah, Mr. Peel is, he's passionate. He cares a lot. You really get the sense right from the beginning what he cares about. And this is only his third meeting. He's only been to two before. He missed the last one, which is why he's asking about the minutes. He wants to get caught up on what he missed, because clearly he missed something. And that's what we don't know. What did he miss?
You mentioned the title, and we know it's the minutes, and you've explained the fact that they aren't there, and he's looking for them to see what he missed. Is there another sense of minutes, time passing, that sort of thing?
I definitely get the sense of that, and that's something I have talked about with the sound designer, a pressure, a presence. Again, it happening in real time in one scene definitely sets a pace, but how can sound support that? And minutes, when you really start to think about them in practice, of course, organizations, businesses, nonprofits, they typically follow a Robert's Rules, and they have their procedure, and they keep minutes, and you read them, and you approve them. But when you actually think about what Jennifer was referencing before, is how critical that is when minutes are being developed across the country and the world and at all levels of organizations, and they do function as the historical piece of what has happened. Even on a small scale, they are rather, even though they can be boring, Gaslight always tries to keep their minutes exciting, but they could be a boring thing, but they are such an important thing when you have to go back and read them.
And, you know, I've never been a city council member or any kind of politician, but I've been a faculty member at King's College for 24 years. And there have been many times when I have needed to go back into a committee's history and read the minutes. And we do not try to make our minutes exciting. But it has happened many times in my career that I've unearthed something from a minutes from 2 or 3 years ago that can inform what we're talking about right now. And so they are really important. They're an important record of an institution's history.
So you're thinking that we'll go away having had a great experience of theater done well. Theater, not preachy, just good theater that draws us in and entertains us. But if we walk away thinking that's good too?
I don't know how someone could walk away from this play, whether they're reading it or seeing it performed, and not have something stick in their mind. I mean, even me, by the end of the play, I recognize something in myself that I'm reminded of where I stand in society and what I want to strive for. So that's a very altruistic feeling and takeaway, but I imagine some people might see it and feel maybe threatened or attacked. Some people might see it and feel passionate and like, I want to be that way, or I can do better. Some people might just feel like this is a really funny scene that's happening and I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that we have a great cast. There's some people that I've been in productions, in community productions before. Some people that are new to me, but I've been really impressed by the acting ability of the whole cast. Brandy is a great director. And, you know, it really does have, we kind of set it up that there's this point, there's something we're not telling you. And so audiences are going to have that experience where they're going to have seen great theater, even if they don't come away with this sort of life-changing, thought-provoking, they're still going to feel like they saw a great theater. But many of them will come away with that kind of thought-provoking, wow, this is something that is topical.
How and when?
Gaslight Theater is presenting with King's College Theater Department, The Minutes by Tracy Letts. We will have four performances. Friday, March 28th at 7:30 p.m. We'll have two shows on Saturday, March 29th, a 2 p.m. and a 7:30 p.m. And then we're closing on Sunday, March 30th at 5 p.m. We didn't want to go too late so everyone can enjoy their Sunday evening. And we're also planning a panel discussion actually after our matinee on Saturday. We'll be joined by Jennifer, myself, but Tony Brooks, Wilkes-Barre City Council member, and he works with the Wilkes-Barre Preservation Society, and then Tom Mackman, who is a professor of history at King's College. Tickets are on sale now. You can find all the information you need and the link to purchase tickets at gaslight-theater.org.
Brandy George, director of this production, and cast member Jennifer McClinton Temple, speaking with us about The Minutes, a play by Pulitzer Prize winner Tracy Letts that will be performed the weekend of March 28th in the Maffei Theater at King's College in Wilkes-Barre. As we heard, four performances, Friday, March 28th at 7:30, two performances on Saturday, March 29th, 2 o'clock and 7:30 p.m., and then Sunday, March 30th at 5 p.m., with a discussion after the Saturday, March 29th matinee at 2. For more information, on the web, gaslight-theater.org, gaslight-theater.org, and theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E.